Hare Krishna.
Some question?
Question from Narasimha Chaitanya Prabhu, Angarian. Please accept my Dandavats, Maharaj. Srila Gurudev sometimes used
you
this...
You said from Narasimha Chaitanya Prabhu?
Narasimha Chaitanya Prabhu. Yes. Please accept my Dandavats, Maharaj. Srila Gurudev sometimes used these terms. Boga Maya Bhumika and Seva Maya Bhumika. What do this mean? And where do these planes exist?
Well, the operative words there are bhog and seva. Bhog, we translate as enjoyment, more specifically, mundane enjoyment. Seva is the opposite of that. Service, dedication. So, Srila Guru Maharaj consistently, the framework that he used was, you know, the land of exploitation, land of renunciation, land of dedication. And he says that Kaler Doshinide Rajan Astiheko Mahagunaha Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Brijet. Kali Yuga, at different times, the world that we live in, it's better or worse. In mundane terms, in the Satyuga, things were more favorable for spiritual culture. Now in the Kali Yuga, it's, materially speaking, the most inauspicious time. Right? If we catalog the inauspiciousness of Kali Yuga, it reaches oceanic proportions. That's Kaler Doshini De Rajan. Dosh means faults. Nide means ocean, an ocean of faults. But then it says, Asti Hieko Mahagunaha. This one great quality that overrides all the inauspiciousness. And in fact, makes being born in the Kali Yuga desirable by devatas and even Satyayuga, people in the know. And that kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha parambrijit. Through nam sankirtan, what do we get? These mukta sangha, liberation or freedom from all the inauspiciousness. But this is the point I mean to make. Guru Maharaj saying, that's not it. That's not mukti proper in the line of the Bhagavatam. Just to become free from the inauspiciousness of the time or the accumulated karmic reactions that are impending. Right? Padma Purana, Rupa Goswami telling from the seed to sprout, to blossom, to bearing fruit, fruit-bearing karma, to avoid the, become free from the impending negative reactions. That's mukta sangha. But then he adds, parambrijit means to enter into the land of dedication. So in Guru Maharaj's scenario, there are three to consider, right? And based on the two, but one in between. The world of exploitation, bhog, but then tyag, the other side of that coin. After so much enjoyment and suffering the reactions of enjoyment, we seek shelter or relief through renunciation. Like the drunkard who drinks so much and they're enjoying that at the time. Then when the reaction comes in the form of a hangover, they're swearing, they'll never drink again, they don't want to smell alcohol, so many things. But then after some time in the tyag position, the bhog position starts looking desirable again. Bhog, tyag, enjoying and renouncing. Because enjoyment is always inevitably accompanied by suffering. So bhog and tyag. Tyag in this sense, neutral. If we take it in this model that the world of exploitation, bhog, is negative, then tyag, renunciation, is the neutral position. But it still falls short of dedication, the positive dedication plane. In the Bhagavatam, the sloka is there. Aruhi krishchena param padam tatak patanti adho anadrita jasmaid angraya. That failure to acknowledge or to worship the lotus feet of Krishna, literally and metaphorically, and their extension means Guru and Vaishnav, then again, Guru Maharaj's example, as a passport got you to the frontier of a country, but lacking a visa, you're turned away. So how can they enter the, what was it called? Seva? Prabhu. What is it meant? No, it says Seva, Maya,
Seva, Maya, Bhumika.
Bhumika. The land. Yeah, as long as they can hear him on the mic, but I need to hear you too. So, yes, this or Seva Mayoyam Loka. Because we have a tendency to view everything objectively, taking ourselves as subjects, we look at everything as a potential object of enjoyment, whether it's other people, members of the opposite sex, person, places, things. We're taking ourselves as the subject and the world and everything in it as an object of fulfillment, potential fulfillment, that by acquiring, controlling, and consuming something, I'll be happy. So when we get some exposure to Krishna consciousness, we have a tendency to think of it in the beginning in those terms. That I'll chant the holy name of Krishna and it'll make me happy. Right? I'll do this, that, whatever it is we're thinking. It's also the Krishna consciousness movement has exotic elements to it. So it's very visual, sensual in that sense. So we're also, and Krishna, there'll be some pretty picture of Krishna, either in the poster or in my mind. And I'll be enjoying that. And this one man, people are always trying to find faults with Vaishnavism. It's indirectly because I think they know it's the ultimate reality. They need to find some flaw, apparent flaw in it, to dismiss it. Because otherwise, it's all-encompassing and all-embracing and ultimately fulfilling. So they look, we do too in different ways, but some people, we have our suspicions. As we live in a world of doubt and suspicions, how can there be something where you surrender that suspicious tendency, where you eliminate that? But Guru Maharaj said, such a plane must exist. Anyway, this man was trying to find fault with Vaishnavism, and he told some story where there was a so-called zamindar, means like, real estate mogul, someone who owns a lot of land. And he's like sitting with his pipe and hookah, and he's hearing someone like sing some Krishna Leela stories. And in these stories, Krishna's a barber, and it's a whole involved thing with Radharani, Braja Gopis, and Krishna. And I mean, it's mundane. We're not endorsing this. But the man, he said, just seeing that zamindar, that like fat cat materialist, enjoying hearing this, it made the man furious. Or he thought, this is your Lord? This is Vaishnavism? Like Guru Maharaj said, the Christians, that remember, Srila Prabhupada went to school with Christian teachers. Guru Maharaj had some Christian teachers, and they would sometimes, like the kids I met in Dum Dum Park too, they have some Christian teachers, and I would ask them, that, what was her name? Apana? And I'd say, how are you doing in school? They go, oh, these teachers, if you just say something about Jesus or what, you know, you can get a good grade. Already the kids are playing them. The kids are a lot smarter than we think. They already realize how to like get these people. So, and sometimes the teachers know it too. So they think we're trying to, you know, civilize them with Christianity, and they remain attached to Krishna and Rama. And as in India, they don't eliminate gods and goddesses. They just add more. They're creating more as we speak. Like Shram Devata, I saw A.L. Basham. At the time, he was his claim to fame was the world's leading Hindologist, or you know, actually a closet Vaishnavite. He actually likes Krishna and all these things. But he was giving a slideshow at UCLA, and he said, and they're showing like the Das avatars we have. There's Vaman, Nisringa, Varaha. They have this poster, and it says, you know, Shram Devata, the goddess of technology. And the picture, they show someone with a tractor, a rocket going into outer space, a train, you know. That's her name. Shram Devata, the goddess of technology. And we know how they love movies there, Bollywood. They had a movie, Santoshi Ma. That means like easily, pleased mother, Santoshi Ma. They just created this goddess, but they showed some type of puja for her in the movie. After that movie circulated in India, in villages all over India, you know, pious ladies, and they're all doing Santoshi Ma puja. In one sense, it shows how sweet they are, or simple-hearted, as Gurudev would say. But sometimes when he says simple-hearted, sometimes he means like Sharal, the Vaishnava quality. Other times it means like simpleton, like foolish. Right? So at any rate, this idea that, which it's nothing new, it's karma kanda in Vedic language, where you impose your desires upon the higher. We impose our desires on the deity. And we live in a country presently where there's some version of this, the people going to the temple to ask for something. Right? When I was in Vrindavan, Shivratri came, and there's a Shiva temple. There's a few in different places. And I just saw the most bizarre thing. There, people are handing the pujari glass jars and bottles of from the Jamuna, and then the pujaris would like break them before the deity. And then they get some donation. And you see there's like a pile, a little mound of glass everywhere. And I was, I think Purnananda was, I said, what is this? And he said, oh, one rich man, he brought some water in a glass jar from the Jamuna to offer the deity. And as they were offering it, it slipped from the pujari's hands and shattered. But he wasn't a rich man before that. And after that happened, as legend has it, he became very wealthy. So now all these people are bringing, the, you know, like a line of them sitting, you know, very nice, sweet people. And they hand the ball, and the pujaris just go, next, next. That's the Bogue world, like, out of control. Actually, well, we used to take, from a real Vedic point of view, a karmi, like a karmi in good standing, karmi is, was like a derogatory slang term amongst the devotees, particularly in the Western world. But really, a karmi, in the Vedic sense, is someone who's regulating their life according to the advice of scriptures on some level. Where they're faulted is their motive is out of some sort of spiritual transaction to derive material benefit. That's the point I've come to in a long, roundabout way. And we can acknowledge we have some tendency like that. We like the like that cause and effect kind of thing. Where I'll do this and this will come as a result. But Srila Guru Maharaj informed us, in the line of pure devotion, it's not like that. That's why he compiled Prapanna Jivanamritam. You see all the things expressed by those devotees there. And I can say, sometimes we'll see some statements, if we say Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what does he say, you know? Amar aparadha guchi shudhanama ruchi kripa bolo, I forget the rest. Kabe habe bolo seri namar. When he says, when that I'll have some taste for the holy name, or when will my hairs be standing on, and Mahaprabhu is saying these things, it's not as it appears, as though he's trying to get some service from the holy name. But they're thinking, those who have Krishna Prem, we hear when they take the holy name, these effects are there. They're saying, when will that day be mine? When my heart will be pure and free from ulterior motive? Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. The coverings, layers of karma and jnana. What the body's built upon something. The soul is there in the background, hidden under layers of karma and jnana. Right? The body being the biological expression of the soul's delusion. Srila Guru Maharaj says, when Srila Saraswati Thakur and on the Brajamandal Parikrama, and he asked one time, what is your favorite place? And again, when we say Guru Maharaj is favorite, that doesn't mean like, you know, the way something is favorited in our present, you know, digital life, that it appears pleasing to me. It means in some substantial way, you felt in the deep heart's core some affinity. And Guru Maharaj said, Kadam Kandi, the place of Rupa Goswami. There, and especially even now, but there, especially at that time, there was no monument or beautiful temple or any such thing. Something in that environment where Rupa Goswami performed his bhajan and perhaps some writings. Guru Maharaj felt something internally, strongly for that. We know Gurudev later, he told, was it Lalita Bar, Lalita Gaon, that when Guru Maharaj asked him, he mentioned that place. And interestingly, just the, and this is what we're talking about, from an objective point of view, when we like something or had a nice experience, reading, chanting, whatever, we want to try and repeat that. Find the like a procedure. What were the steps that led up to that moment? When Srila Gurudev spoke about Lalita Bar, the house of Lalita Sakhi in Uchagaon. He said he did not want to return there, lest what he felt previously, that it would in any way diminish that. He did not want to try and repeat that. What he got at that time was sufficient. And so anyway, Guru Maharaj mentioned this. A few years later, on Brajamandal Parikrama, when they come to that place, Guru Maharaj is surprised. Saraswati Thakur says to him, "Oh, your place." And Guru Maharaj the first time, "My place? Your place." And then Guru Maharaj said, "Oh," then I could understand he was engaging in what is called ruchi pariksha. You know, that means to examine. He's examining the taste, and we mean something substantial here by the word ruchi. He's examining the taste, inner taste of the disciples. And Guru Maharaj said, yes, as the layers of karma and jnana are peeled away and start to thin, you know, or diminish, said the Sadguru can see the observing the swaroop of the disciple, their seva swaroop, seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi. So that world is comprised, sometimes told seva mayoyam loka. One way to think of it is comprised of seva. As this world is saturated and has exploitation and exploiting tendencies as its cause and what's causing it to move and appear in so many ways. Jalada navalakani stavara laka vingshati. Why are all these species? You know, we look at the flowers, they're so beautiful. But those trees, from another point of view, they're suffering. We may have a garden. You know, how beautiful the garden is. But those living beings, they're suffering. It's the world of suffering. Right? Dukalayam ashashvatam, temporary, miserable world. And we think, oh, but it's so nice. What is nice is if the flower is taken from that tree and brought to the lotus feet of Guru Gauranga and Gandharvika Giridhari Giriraj, like that. Then they have some connection with the seva world. Like here in Thailand, they have this law or rule about land. Without going into the details, I mean, the government, they want all the land. You can see around you sometimes right now. There's some land, it's owned by somebody else, but some of the local people will cultivate it for a while. The government encourages that. Right? Just down the road, they'll do that. They did it last year, they do it every year. So in India, they have ponds, pukurs, different places, and there's fish in the tank. And once the fish at the Mott long ago, if you don't allow people to fish, you'll lose the property. So Gurudev allowed them to do that. And someone criticized him for doing that, but Gurudev's response was, ordinarily those fish, they just live and die. Saying, but in this instance, that the benefit of their lives would go to some serving capital for Guru, Gauranga, Gandharvika. He said, the fish will be very happy to be in the pond of Vaishnava Thakur. So, seva, service. Saraswati Thakur, when he heard the line in Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the end of, I think, Kalyana Kalpataru, where he talks about the Nam Hut of Nityananda Prabhu, and he says, Kedarnath, Bhaktivinoda, he is the sweeper in the Nam Hutta of Nityananda Prabhu. And by that we mean to keep the sampradaya clean, to brush out the unwanted, contaminated things. It's very beautiful, and but a very humble expression. Srila Saraswati Thakur said, if Jarudar means, I think, sweeper. He said, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a sweeper there, then I'm one of the straws in his broom. That style broom that's come of so many straws we've seen in India, particularly everywhere, but especially there. He said, then take me to be one of those straws in the broom of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in that place. Then Srila Guru Maharaj said, if we take that what Srila Saraswati Thakur is saying is a heartfelt expression, it's not clever words, but something he's expressing from his heart, a deep feeling, he said, then you can understand the unit of constructions of the swaroop. As this body, as units of exploitation, exploiting tendency, that's the unit of measure here. And a form appears, Jalaja Navalokani, one of 84 lakhs. Here he's saying, now this sort of aspiration to serve in that plane, and substantially, not in an imaginary way, but in a realistic way, he said, those are the units of construction of the swaroop. That's why we are all aspiring servitors. Srila Guru Maharaj tells us, the ever watchful eye of Yoga Maya is observing all the servitors. Sometimes we wonder, like, I wonder if people know what I'm doing or the things I need for my seva. Seeing the ever watchful eye of Yoga Maya is there. She knows which servitors are qualified to be taken up to another level, what are their service necessities, the paraphernalia necessary for their service. It's all service-based. And Guru Maharaj is an example, again, of the passport and the visa. That we're seeking admission, that's a given. Someone presents themselves at the embassy, they've got their application. We understand they want to enter, that's a good thing. But it's not sufficient. Those who are the representatives of that country who've been appointed to that position, they will examine the applicant. Right? They look at your picture, see what you what you look like, see what your history is. Maybe you're lying. We would never do that. But they're looking at all these things very carefully. And then they decide it's in the interest of the country to bring you in. That's the part we miss. We think, no, I want to go. As if that's sufficient. Yeah, it's true. God helps those that help themselves. But still, visa-granting officer and saying, yes, here's your visa. Now you can enter. That's why we need forever ashraya vigraha in terms of guru and Vaishnav. Who those agents of that plane who will vouch for us that our intent is sincere. Jnana karma dhyanavritam. There's not some ulterior motive, not out of curiosity or touristic tendencies. Right? Guru Maharaj told of one so-called freedom fighter in India, he was captured and he was sentenced to death and he was awaiting execution. And he said, I'm very eager to see the afterworld. And Guru Maharaj said, what he doesn't know is it's going to be, if he's lucky, it'll be like the world he was just in. But there's no guarantee, which was full of suffering, but there's no guarantee he'll have human life. I'm very eager to see the afterworld. He's thinking. He's deluded. So there has to be genuine service necessity. that one is being called up. So Srila Das Goswami, our Prayojan Tattvacharya of the Rupa Nuga line, what are you saying, Vilapa Kusumanjali? Dashayate mama rasastu rasastu nityam sakayame mama namastu namastu satyam. That I, my focus and aspiration is service. In the least aspect, the least connection, give me some service. Intimacy, I don't crave. That's worshipable. He expressed it in this way, Saraswati Thakur, Pujala Raghapat Gaurava Bhange Ma Tala Sarujana Vishayarange. That plain, Pujala is worshipable, Raga Marg. Right? Pujala Raghapat, the path of Raga, that's worshipable to us. So that which is worshipable should be kept above. And below that plane, beneath, one step or so removed, we try to serve here. And so the seva mayoyam loka is extended in that way, in a tangible way for us. And those who are deemed qualified, they'll be brought up, taken in. It's like that. But not out of curiosity. Genuine hankering, earnestness. When I first went to the Sri Sri Radha Krishna Temple in Haight-Ashbury in December of 1969 in San Francisco, sometimes they would ask us to help, like chop vegetables or do things like that. And we were with this one devotee, my friend and I, we're doing what's asked of us, and he starts going, "Nectar! I need some nectar!" And I'd never met anyone like this. And I've never heard someone cry out for nectar in my life. I was only 19 at the time, or 18, but this is peculiar. And he looked so pain, you know, like, "Prabhu, I need some nectar." He was, and I was just saying, "Can someone help him?" He seems to really be upset. And what he wanted was someone to sit and beside us and read from the nectar of devotion while we're cutting the vegetables. That's what he wanted. I thought, what a extraordinary and unusual fellow. So he was crying out for that. Mahaprabhu told Narayani, the little girl who later became the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur when she was a little girl, he knew she was very advanced in Krishna consciousness. He said, "Narayani, cry with Krishna Prem." And she broke down crying with Krishna Prem, made Mahaprabhu very happy. He gave her some prasad. We don't want something cheap or easily, too easily got. We should be suspicious of such things. Guru Maharaj points out, in the world, for anything substantial, there has to be a fair amount or a large amount of self-sacrifice for anything substantial. Self-giving and self-sacrifice. Then he said, so when it comes to Krishna consciousness, should it be less than that? Less should be required? Equal to that or more? When sometimes our devotees would be sent to some like Gaudiya Math festival, they send a few representatives. One of them went and came back with a report that he felt he was abused by certain devotees, without going into the details. He was upset. And Guru Maharaj's answer was a surprise. He said, if a soldier comes back from the war and they don't have any scars or wounds, they're suspect. And I remember when I was a child in the 1950s, maybe it was 10 years or, you know, 10, 12 years after the Great Patriotic War, as it's called. And sometimes we'd meet men and they'd go, let me show you something, son. And, you know, and we'd go, wow. And then we'd ask someone else, like, do you have that? And they go, no. And we're like, what? I thought, we're not sure if you fought in the war. What did you do? How much of yourself did you give? So Guru Maharaj said, there should be some wounds, some scars. This is the most noble battle that you'll ever be in. You can't expect to go through this without sacrificing yourself. That's why self-sacrifice is admired so much, even in the mundane world. Right? Celebrated in every country, every year, they celebrate the men and women who gave their lives for their country, who saw something greater than themselves. And I'm not mocking it. I'm saying it's to be revered. They sacrifice themselves for some greater good. That principle is revered. That's why there are parades and medals and all these things. They're trying to show some appreciation. So if that, then what if someone sacrifices themselves for the ultimate and absolute good? How noble is that? That's what our aspiration is. People will say, oh, they will dismiss that as though it's not possible. But to serve the ultimate and absolute good, that's an extraordinary possibility. Shraddha shabde vishvasa kohe sudrida nischoy Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. That's what faith is. Belief. All these things we're hearing. Sometimes we hear things that throw us, it's hard to get our minds around it. But when all is said and done, to believe in this, that if I just concentrate on this, everything is achieved. That's the culture of faith. And ironically, in contrast to that, we're willing to repeatedly offer ourselves as dupes for the people of this world, and we're cheated repeatedly. But when it comes to dealing with God, divinity, Krishna, then we're very protective. I think, no, I'm very smart and I'm not going to be cheated, I'm suspicious. But in the world, in one place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his, maybe it's in the Bhagavata, that the prejudices we acquired them unthinkingly. But when it comes time to part with them, we have to think about it very carefully. But they were acquired without thinking, foolishly. We have made so many assumptions about the world that we're born into. We thought that, particularly, that adults knew what they were doing, that they had the world in control, and that they knew what they were doing. And then you realize that's a fantasy. It's a lie. It's a misrepresentation. Right? That's why. Doinya Atmani Veda. First, you have to come to the point, Guru Maharaj said, of realizing. Not only can you not help others, you cannot help yourself. That sort of talk is anathema to secular humanists. No, which is really an offshoot of Mayavad. And you're so great that's the human's always telling you, you're so great. Man is so great. Look at the achievements of man. You're so great. You've got to love yourself. That's the greatest love of all. Look in the mirror every morning and you know, love yourself. It's absurd. It doesn't mean, you know, the opposite direction to be self-deprecating in some bizarre, mundane sense. But humility. At the time of Madhavendra Puri's passing, he started Radhabhav. He's crying out to Krishna of Mathura. Ayi dina dayadrinathe Mathuranath, Mathuranath, Kudavalakshase, Kripaya, Aloka, Taram. Please cast your merciful glance. I'm ready to leave. Please, I'm going to leave my body. Cast your merciful glance toward me. What will I do? And his disciple, he has Ishwara Puri on one side, Madhavendra Puri, Ramachandra Puri on the other side, saying, why are you lamenting? Haven't you read Bhagavad Gita? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na Sochati na Kangshati. Someone on the Brahma Bhuta platform, they're not na Sochati na Kangshati. They don't hanker, they don't lament. Why? You're crying out like a little girl. Why? Don't you know you're Brahma, Soham, you're so big. Krishna kind of das anudas, Guru Maharaj, like we say, das sounds nice, servant sounds kind of sweet, but Guru Maharaj's favorite word is slave. And then he says, and not even directly the slave, but slave of the slave of the slave. And all the humanists are gagging. You're preaching slavery. But I've seen people like father, grandfather, grandfather tell me, like, I'm the slave of this little girl, of his granddaughter. And with a big smile on his face, happily I'm her slave. And everyone thinks that's charming. Oh, grandpa's the slave of the little grandchildren. How sweet, how loving, how charming. They say, oh, well, we're the slave of Krishna. Oh, that's horrible. How terrible. We're all kings and queens. We've bought into this. Whereas we have to understand, who is Krishna? Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti, Rasaraj. He's ecstasy personified. Infinite beauty, love, charm, and sweetness personified. And if you become his slave, the infinite becomes the slave of the finite in reciprocation. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. But we're suspicious. We're looking at the fine print to make sure we won't be cheated. And that way we end up cheating ourselves. Another way to phrase these two, Milton, Paradise Lost. Reign in hell, serve in heaven, reign in hell. Guru Maharaj said, I would rather be a worm in a bucket of nectar than king of a hill of... But to come to the point of wanting to serve, that when we see our God brothers, God sisters, we may see that sometimes. I remember in Vrindavan, the first time I went there, and went to have the darshan, go to Radha Damodar temple. I didn't know at the time the deities rest in the afternoon. So I came and all the doors are locked. And said, you know, you have to wait like an hour. And we know there's no city planning. Like, just houses are built in every direction. And so I sat down to chant japa while I was waiting. I thought I was in a public place. Actually, I was in somebody's courtyard, you know, of their house. I was on private property. In America, they would call the police. There's a man in our front yard chanting some mysterious mantra. But instead, I'm chanting and I see a little boy's hand pushing a glass plate with a couple of sweets on it. And then the same hand pushes a glass of water, and I look over and I see this little boy. And he says in Hindi, I am Brijbasi, and seva is my dharma. So probably his mother sent him, like, give him something. That's what they were thinking. Like, offer him something. He said, seva is my dharma. Sarva dharmam bodhichajamamekam sharanam raja sharanam. So, and it's reciprocal. Srimati Radharani always pushing her servitors for it. They all always pushing her. They're trying to assist and serve her. And there's no element of self-assertion, self-certification, self-aggrandizement, self-remuneration. And Guru Maharaj said, that world, the world of gurus, the soil is guru. Guru, taking everyone to the central service of Krishna. Saying, so how can you take a step in that plane? How can the pujari step on the altar to put the crown on the deity out of service necessity? To serve Mahaprabhu, Govinda, when Mahaprabhu was sleeping in the doorway, he stepped over the body of Mahaprabhu, which is generally considered an offense. But to serve Mahaprabhu, then he stood there for an hour. And Mahaprabhu woke up, he said, what are you doing? He said, you fell asleep in front of the door. Then Mahaprabhu can, so you're here, he said, yeah, to massage you. So you got here, you stepped over me to do that. But to leave, he wouldn't step over Mahaprabhu to leave because that was for him. Ado arpita paschad kriyata, beginning, middle, and end for Krishna. That's the rule, the operating, you know, like they have Newton's laws. This is the law in the spiritual world. Beginning, middle, and end for Krishna. No expectation. Epitomized in the last sloka of Shikshastakam, Aslishava Parvatam Panastumam, Adarshanam Marmahatam Kurotuba, Yatatata Ba Vadadatu Lampato Mat Prananatastu Sarevanapara. Adarshanam, not Krishna not showing himself. Isn't that our situation? Still worshipable Lord, not based on that I'll do this and then Krishna will reveal himself to me, show him, amuse me, please me in some way. I have to overcome that type of thinking but through service engagement and sacrifice, self-sacrifice. I told that when Gurudev was taking prasadam one day, and he at the time had diabetes, so there's certain things they cannot serve him. And but he loves prasadam and all the different things. And the cooks, they also like to make so many things. And they're making some things and bringing them to myself and others on the veranda. And they, Gurudev's here, and they have to sort of walk by, give them. They're trying to do it without him noticing. And Gurudev, when it very dramatically, like exaggerate, he starts singing this song that he's saying, oh, I said, Maharaj, what is that song? And he said, oh, Radharani is very sad. But with this big, he's making a very sad face. And she's very sad. And why? Said, because not only is Krishna going to the house of another gopi, but he's going through her courtyard in front of her so she can see. And so he's saying, it's bad enough they're giving you all these preparations, but they bring them right in front of me and then put them on your plate. So we learn a lot of things from that. But also he's saying, there's such a song as that. That's in the Shikshastakam, the last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamritam. She's saying, if it pleases Krishna, he wants him out, I will fall at the feet of that gopi or that person and beg them and take them to Krishna. So we're not that, but that's what we aspire to. Then the only reasonable connection we could have to something like that would be through a service connection. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayo Dasa Das Anudas. And we hear, because we think it would be impossible, how could we ever come to feel like that? Through service of that plane, Pujala Ragapat, Gaurava Bhange, serving that plane, then the heart to heart, the transfer from what is in the heart of those servitors and super servitors will appear in the heart of the aspiring servitor. Yata yata Gaurapadara vinde vinde ta bhaktim kritapunyarasi. Tata-tata-tata-tata-tata-sarputi hridya-kasmat. That's hridya-kasmat. Radha-padam-bhoja-sudambu-rasi. The radha-rasa-shudha-nidhi. It's the ultimate seva-mayoyam plane. Starts appearing in the heart of that servitor. Impossible of impossible things. As I mentioned, that poet who said, we need more people to specialize in the impossible. So many people are doing what is possible. But we need more people to specialize in the impossible. So I thought, oh, he's talking about Krishna consciousness. Then it's very good. That the infinite will come under the control of the finite out of love and affection. It's inconceivable. But true. And it's at the heart of the Krishna consciousness movement. Sadhavo hridayam madhyam. Sarunam hridayam tomaham, my friend. And we hear of like people meditating upon Krishna in their heart, like the devotees. But very beautifully, Krishna says, Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyam. What about me? In my heart, I'm thinking of the devotees. But as they think of me, there's half-hearted, wholeheartedly. That's why Guru Maharaj is emphasizing the extremes of pure devotion to Krishna. then Krishna has similar dedication to that servitor.